depend entirely on the Lord for his help. I ask your attention to chapter 30 of Isaiah's prophecy, verses 20 and 21. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 30, and verses 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, or and when ye turn to the left. It is a chapter full of mercy to the people of God. It is a chapter where the blessed Spirit of Truth warns the people of God. It is again a chapter where the Lord, through his mercy and kindness, compassion and faithfulness, will appear for them. We began the chapter with that solemn warning and word, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering and not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. The warnings of going down to Egypt for help, turning away from the covenant God who has always been the support and strength and shall always appear for his needy people. And then we have the warning of those rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Oh, may that never be in Zohar, but may that ever be in your time in this sanctuary, a ministry that's faithful. But then we find too what happens to those who trust in Egypt. Trust in self, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out into a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Well, may you and I be those characters, though poor in themselves and needy, yet may Israel's God be our God. And then we have those sweet covenant promises, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exhorted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee. The voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Oh, may we be in that blessed people, of whom God is an unchangeable God too. And then we have this word, which I hope and believe was laid on my spirit in the night. Had been thinking of the times during the day, especially in the evening, thinking of those words in the 15th of Matthew, where that poor woman from that Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was afflicted, and where that lovely three words are found, Lord, help me. And she said of the Gentiles, and really she spoke for the whole Church of Christ, where she said the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then my mind went to the Proverbs, where the word is there written for the people of God concerning the feeding of their souls and what shall be the food of their soul. My mind, as you can understand, rove here and there through the Word of God. Feed me with food convenient for me. My thoughts went here and there, therefore, in this, with that view in my mind and that exercise upon my spirit, especially as the Lord's Day drew nearer and nearer. And I thought of those words, and it's in, again, this was in the early hours, or in the morning, where in the 33rd chapter of this prophecy, we read, he shall dwell on high, his place of defence shall be the munition of rocks, bread shall be given thee, his water shall be sure. But then it came down to this, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and that must be what we must try, as the Lord will help us, to make a few remarks on now and through this service. The bread of adversity, the Lord gives it to his people. He brings them into those times when they shall be fed with the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Or as the margin says, oppression. And my thoughts went too in this direction. There is, I was going to say, a guarantee in the Word of God. And there is this to every child of grace. We read it yesterday in the 37th Psalm, that there David speaks about the righteous not being forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And this commodity of bread and water, in a certain sense, is all we're promised. But it is promised. And it has continued. And you and I can truly say, to the honour and glory of his great and holy name, though we may have so many things we're not allowed to have, and we can look back on the years of our life, but still the bread has been given and the water has been sure, providentially so. But then have we not proved too what the prophet of old was able to tell the woman, that the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. But here we have a different bread, and here we have a different water, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And as sure as you and I must needs have the natural bread and water for our growth, for our well-being, for our strength, for our body and mind, be sure of that, my friends, without these two commodities, even a natural sense, your faculties and your body would be deficient. But so sure also, your spiritual life, your very soul will grow and benefit and will be to the means of knowledge and understanding when the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Oh, as natural food is God's provision for his for the people of the earth, and such is their health maintained by a balanced diet, as we might so use the words. My friend, so for your soul and mine. It pleases the Lord. It is according to his purposes. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it isn't come haphazardly. It's not by chance. It's in the purposes of God that it is given. And it's not given in anger either. It is given in covenant love, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But that you and I shall grow thereby, that you and I shall profit through them and by these means. It's a word which a false professor wouldn't understand, or a mere professor wouldn't understand, because the natural man doesn't see the need of the bread of adversity or the water of affliction. Don't see any need of it. Prays against it. Ask indeed if he's of that nature, would seek that we should be avoiding such things as the bread of adversity. That the Lord's people have no choice. That the Lord, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But there is mercy in this giving. Whatever the Lord gives you now to his people, it is because he loves them. It is in mercy to their soul. It is in benefit to their spirit and walk and pathway. It brings that knowledge which they shall not learn in any other way, the bread of adversity. But they shall grow thereby. My friends, not by chance do these things happen, and not by any means of man shall they happen. There is an overruling hand in the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. The distribution of it shall be in that sufficient quantity and quality that shall be for your profit and benefit. We shall look at one or two of those things in a moment, but Hezekiah in this same book was the subject of the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. It began with those two evil men, Rabshakeh and Sennacherib, writing against Hezekiah and speaking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. That the strength of Israel shall not be their support, and that they shall be overthrown and overrun by such evil armies. And it grieved Hezekiah, and he took the communication of his enemies into the house of God and spread it before the Lord. And then if you read chapter 38, as we read it recently somewhere, in those days, in the midst of all this, in those days, at the same time, was Hezekiah sick unto death. You know, it is almost sometimes to the people of God, it seems to be when one trouble or the next one doth assize, but then sometimes it's otherwise. There is the continuation. But what did the good man say? It caused him to cry. He turned his face toward the wall and wept, and he prayed. The Lord heard his prayer, added to his days 15 years. Then he said this, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. The bread of adversity, the water of affliction. I've sometimes wondered where we shall get to if it weren't for these two things. Where would we get to? What sort of religion would we have? What sort of prayers would we offer? What a dreadful state is the Laodicean church. And that's the last church that is mentioned of those seven in the first, second, and third chapters of the Revelation. And we live in the days, in these latter days before time shall be concluded. We live in the days and in the exercise, or the lack of it, of the Laodicean church. And there are many that fall under the category and the description as those who worshipped at Laodicea. They were rich and in need of nothing. But blessed be God, and I really mean it, my friends, blessed be God, if you've got a religion that keeps stirring up, if you've got an exercise which he keeps lays burdens upon, blessed be God if he causes you with many errands to his footstool of mercy. Oh, bless God if he hears your voice in anguish and prayer and sorrow and repentance and confession, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Because, my friends, he'll send it for that purpose, to stir up his own work. Otherwise, we just go on in a lethargic condition. We bless God with our lips and not with our hearts. We worship God with our mind but not with our spirit. The word of God becomes strange to us. The experiences of the Lord's people become, as it were, dead. They grow into a sort of contented, and that's a wrong contented spirit. But the Lord will not leave his real people, and he will not leave his blood-washed people into that dreadful state of continuing. He will apply this word, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And it is to that end. I've often noted in Psalm 91 with that very beautiful psalm, it speaks of the safety of the people of God. But it concludes with these words, "He shall call and I will answer." There's an eternal shall, that is. That's an eternal shall. My friends, if you by grace are in the way everlasting, be not surprised, for the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, because the Lord will send it out of love, and he'll send it out of mercy to your soul, and he will cause you to weep and lament before him of the deadness and the hardness of your heart. You must remember, go back to those examples of the word of God, where you have such a man as the prodigal, who turned away from his father's house. He must have been a very hard-hearted son at that time, indifferent to the love and the comfort and the provision of his father's house. He turned away from it, and he spent his substance in riotous living. But then affliction and adversity came upon him, and it came upon him in this form and in this way. He began to be in want. Oh, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. My friends, what is the means which he will use? Well, it is in his hands to use whatever means he may. But what is this bread of adversity? This which will be not for the retarding of your growth, but of the increasing of your growth in spiritual things. It will be for the strength of your soul and for the benefit of your spirit. And it will do your pathway good, and it will be profitable in those times. And I have to confess too, you know, these times of adversity, these waters of affliction, They've been to me much more profitable times than when the way seems to be but smooth and comfortable and everything drops into place. Oh, when you wonder, my friends, I'm talking only now about spiritual things, when you really do feel what it is to be a poor sinner, not giving lip service to such descriptions, but feeling it within. When you do go up to the sanctuary in abject poverty and absolute need, when you go to the house of God as empty as if he was dead in trespasses and sins, but instead of being dead in trespasses and sins and empty, you're empty, but with the knowledge of that emptiness and poverty and destitution. When you go to listen to see whether there is a word from the Lord which will recover you or restore you or comfort you or give you some gleam of hope, when he applies the holy law to your poor heart and you fall down convinced of your iniquity, when he smites your conscience as you look back on the day or the week or the month or the year, when he smites your conscience, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. My friends, these things are not palatable. Oh, preach unto us smooth things. They don't want to hear such things as this in the generalization of religious ways and words. But it's the pathway of the Lord's people. And blessed be those people that fall under such a word as this, and who shall indeed profit by it, and indeed shall rejoice in it, rejoice in adversity. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, what, that they might be rejoicing in such a place? Oh, indeed they will. Indeed they will. We have examples in the Word of God, but we have surely the people of God as examples in their spiritual pathway. When the Lord is pleased by his Spirit to turn the book of remembrance, and the page of remembrance is over, you will find some of those seasons of adversity you wouldn't change for anything. And though the Lord give you, well, the Word speaks through the chapter of this rebellious people, that this is a rebellious people. And as it began, woe to the rebellious people. The Lord knows how to take that rebellious spirit away from his people. And he loads their shoulders well with woe, the bread of adversity. It is described like this, I believe, because it must be, and I use the right word here, I hope. My friends, it is therefore for your health and strength, your spiritual health and your spiritual strength. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And the Lord is pleased to use the ministry of the Word as teachers to his people. But on the other hand, my friends, sometimes it is blessed to the people of God when they have revealed to them the purpose of these things. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. In other words, to this moment of time, or it may be, that you cannot see the reason or the purpose in such pathways that you're walking. The teachers are removed. It seems to be as though there's no profit. It seems as though the Lord's justice is poured out upon you without measure. It would seem to the natural mind of man that he's going to destroy you with this bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But when he brings to light and to your understanding the truth of these words, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more than thine, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And you will see how profitable then and how beneficial it is to your poor soul, and that these things are for the profit and good of your pathway, present and future. The bread of adversity. The servant of God, Moses, was 40 years in the wilderness, looking after a few sheep. God ordained, appointed that place. You was to raise up a man to lead Israel from Egypt to the borders of Canaan. Would you put him in a desert place? Would you not send him to a college? Would you not send him to places where he shall gain knowledge of what is before him? That in that instruction and teaching of man, that he might find wisdom given him and direction and patience and all those things. Not so, not with the Lord. Not with the Lord. My friends, he had divine purposes of mercy towards Israel. And Moses was raised up of God to be the leader of Israel and to bring them to the borders of Canaan. But he took him from the 40 years in the wilderness. You can't consider what that truly means. 40 years he dwelt in Egypt, in Pharaoh's palace, brought up under the education and wisdom of Egypt could offer him. But then he was put into another school. And if God has purposes of grace to you and mercy to your poor soul, my friends, you will learn by this teaching and profit as you walk out in that path of adversity and affliction what you wouldn't learn in any other school. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed in the corner any more, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. When he convinces his people of their iniquity, it is to them adversity, it is affliction. When he brings them into those places where all hope in self shall indeed be removed. We have an incident in the life of the apostle of which has its spiritual counterpart. In chapter 27 of the Acts, you remember that they were in that boat under those most trying circumstances. We read there that they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And then this, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It was a place of teaching. It was a place of profit. Not for the apostles only. The apostles were on that boat by divine appointment. It was determined of God that Paul should go to Rome. And they were on that boat. It was perilous. It was dangerous. And all hope of being saved was then taken away. Neither sun nor stars. How dark it must have been. But there was one man there, and that was Paul, who was convinced of his safety. And he goes on to say to them, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall not be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as he hath told me." Oh, in the midst of that place where sun nor stars didn't appear and all hope of being saved was removed, the Lord spoke. The Lord spoke, and he spoke into the heart of the dear apostle. He was to convey that message to those on that boat. They were safe. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Oh, my friends, in this affliction and adversity, this oppression, as the margin says, does not the Lord speak? Has he not spoken? Is not this the comfort of your poor soul as you travel through these times and seasons in your experiences, where you are brought into, well, almost to stand as wondering what it will, where it will end, and the Lord speaks, and he speaks in comfort. Well, I told you many a time how sweet that word was to me once, in a time of great trouble. I went to the Lord's house in anticipation of nothing, and I would never have been surprised if there wasn't anything. Such was my lack of faith or trust. I was bound up in deep trouble. And then the poor man, and that's his description, not mine, he was a servant of God to me. He lacked anything and everything that ministers ought to have, which people think ministers ought to have, like gifts and graces. But the Lord was with him. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Oh, he is in the glories of heaven, is that servant of God. But he was the mouthpiece of God to my soul that day. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Oh, be sure of this, dear friends. The Lord won't leave you in that bread of adversity or in that water of affliction. It's for your profit and good, for your benefit. It's for your soul's building and strengthening. It will bring experience. It will bring comfort. And you look back on those days of adversity and oppression within your poor soul, and you'll see how benefit it was, and how blessed it was, and what mercy it was. What indeed, my friends, is the opposite. Sometimes it might be more profitable to you that you might view what the opposite will have. If the Lord had not given you the bread of adversity or the water of affliction, if he had not led you into these deep paths, if he had not shined into your heart and showed you what a wretched sinner you was, if he didn't put you in a pathway which has got deep places and hard spots to walk, and there were a lot of crooked things in those pathways, if he had not brought you there, my friends, you would have had one of those contented religions that you would sail along and blown along on the wind of pride, and supported by self, and your lack of knowledge of God you would not have known. You would not have known the extent of your own ignorance of spiritual things, and you would have sailed along till you dropped into the pit. Oh, I feel so solemnly aware, my friends, what it must be to be deceived. And millions in religion are deceived. They know not this path. This is the way of God. This is the appointments of God. And it is the pathway which he will teach his people. And thousands go along in this contented religious situation and circumstance. Oh, it is so solemn, my friends. Bless God that he stirs up your spirit. We don't want the adversity. We don't want the affliction. But they are profitable. Old nature cries against it. And a child of God will sometimes fear that it is for his eternal woe. But it cannot be so. If God has ordered it, God will decree it, and God will balance those adversities and afflictions with his grace. And he'll cause you to know that it is of his mercy. And if he does it, my friends, out of chastening, Oh, may you ever remember his own holy word. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If he does it, my friends, it's because he loves your soul. And he'll keep you from evil. And he'll do it by this means of adversity and oppression. And time and time again, he makes his people know that they're only kept unless he keeps them. And so they will cast on him their very soul and its life and its experience and its profit and its benefit. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? Do you not know what Paul wrote when he said this? And we know that all things work together for good. And there was a lot of all things in his life. There was oppression, there was adversity, there was religious hate, and there was times of imprisonment, and there was times when he was hunted and hated for the gospel's sake. But over it all comes these blessed words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I remember too, in times of trouble, desperate for some comfort, and I believe, my friends, it is a state of absolute desperation that we might find some comfort that might relieve the burden of the spirit in its deep paths that it's walking. And I looked through the hymn book and I looked through the Bible and I came across this word, and this was the comfort: that if our dearest comforts fall before his sovereign will, he never takes away at all. Himself he gives us still. My friends, if you have that with the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it will make it sweet. It will make it profitable. And you'll rejoice in the day of trouble. And you'll find this, the faithfulness of your God and the mercy of his word in the day of trouble. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. You know, the worldling and or even the professor will question, I'll say, now why? Why was it that the Lord should so do this or that? Why should he give? Why can't we go on without this adversity and affliction? Well, my friends, that's the state of the natural heart. But this is the mercy, my friends, is when he opens your eyes. And when he does, he'll touch your heart. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed any more. I thought just then for a moment of that dear man in John's Gospel who was born blind. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was brought to Christ. And they tried to, as it were, find a reason for his blindness. Did this man sin, or his parents, they said? That was not the reason. That was not the purpose. What was the purpose? For the glory of God. That was the purpose. So I came to this in my thoughts in a split second, as it were. What that dear man said to the Pharisees when they were trying to find out the cause of his blessing. And the fact that he could see. He said he had to come to this place and that place only. Whether he was a good man or no, I do not know, he said. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. God willing, there's a prayer meeting here Wednesday. I hope to be here next Lord's Day. Shall we close the morning service with hymn 1016 to the tune number 354. Mm-hmm. gracious power through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Whither, oh, whither shall I fly but to the loving Saviour's breast, secure within thy arms to lie, and safe beneath thy wings to rest. Hymn 1016. Forgiveness for all that has been amiss in thy sight. Lord, be with us, be mindful of us, and Lord, as we indeed need thee throughout this day. Oh, may thy presence be felt, thy spirit given, and gather us later in this house of God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us each. Amen.